Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, what we love to call Satsang, is for Sunday, May 28, 2017, and I'm very grateful you chose to be with us. We're going to look at how to live with. Live with what? Well, different dilemmas and difficulties that we all have in this world that we all face one way or the other. And I get a lot of these kinds of emails. How do I do this? Why do I do that? How do I, you know, how do I live with? So I thought we'd put that together and make a program out of it. And hopefully this will serve you real well. At least I hope it does. I want to remind you always that these radio programs, as well as our TV efforts, are all there because of my sponsors. If it were not for my loving, generous sponsors, and believe me, they are kind. They see the bigger picture. You would not be listening to this radio program, and you would not be able to observe my TV programs either, and I hope that you take a look at them on the website at aspire.org. Your kindness is necessary. Your participation in serving humankind in this way is most necessary. You know, we are convinced that somehow we can overcome our human difficulties through technology, and that just wouldn't be true, not even remotely. Technology is not going to help us. Might is the only way to fight, and that's the way we live our life here on Earth. But there is an alternative, and that is what we are offering here on this radio program, on our website at aspire.org, and in general, to serve humankind in a way that is most effective, and that is to give and honor the spiritual aspect of our life, the sacredness of it, a little more room, maybe a little more time, a little more space. So that is what this radio program is about, our Aspire website. And if you'd like to know more about how to become a sponsor and how to serve humankind, please go to the website at aspire.org. There you will see support. If you click on that little button there, a menu will come down and it will say, why support Aspire? And it will explain everything about what it means to support Aspire, where your donations go, and you will have the chance to sign up there and get all the little benefits that I try to offer to sponsors as a way of thanking them for their generosity. Become a sponsor. How to live with. How do we live with so many different aspects of our life? Stuff comes, stuff goes, difficulties are here, difficulties are always there. And I know there are those who are of the mind that they think that because we have difficulties, you're, you know, not as good as other people, or you're not spiritual or whatever. It's just ridiculous. I had one of my colleagues say to me recently, you know, I have allergies and I feel like a hypocrite because I have allergies and I'm standing before the congregation talking to them about healing, but here I am with my allergies. And he said, I feel like I should quit and all that other stuff. This is just the wrong attitude. Constantly wrong. This is not the way to progress spiritually speaking. So I thought it would be interesting to pull out some of my old radio questions and kind of catch up a little bit. First one comes from Jonathan. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, Greg. And he goes into a long dissertation about his life. How do I live with the death of my wife? It was very painful to me, and I'm still not over it, and it's been a year. Jonathan. Jonathan. There's no getting over it, because in your psychology, in your genetics, nothing is over. In my psychology, in my genetics, nothing is over. They're alive in our minds and how we perceive them how we make up the idea that they live there. We make up stories about them and we aggrandize them or we villainize them. It just depends on who they are and what we're up against here. So all of this just goes on and on and on, and we make all sorts of difficulties out of our life. We really do. And we live with the memory, our own memory, the belief of our memory in all of this. And so there you are. It just keeps going and going and going. The object is, how do I live with the death of my wife? You have to live in gratitude to her. In gratitude that she was in your life, that she was there as a part of your living. And that she is not there in the physical doesn't mean that the most important part of her isn't still there. There's lots of people I have loved who have died. Lots of friends that I have lost, both to death and just to separation in this world. People go their own way. And some were friends, and maybe some were foes. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is, how do I live with that which seems unlivable, unfair, or doesn't have any logical sense to it? Now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty here, Jonathan. In an authentic spiritual practice, in an authentic life, we begin to see what the meaning of that life is and how people fit into that life and what they're all about in that life. If I only live my life in accordance with what I desire, what I want, what I believe in, if I use people as a way to make myself feel comfortable or good about myself, then I didn't truly love them. I didn't really get the whole experience of them. You must get the whole experience of what it is to be with your wife now. If you truly were a union of one, then what could be taken away from you through death? Absolutely nothing. But the emotions and the body that thought they were in love with this person because they pleasured them or gave them a sense of gratification or satisfaction in some way emotionally, never gives up. It's relentless desire after desire after desire. I've had people, you know, break my human heart over and over and over again in different ways. And, you know, you got to move on. You could sit there, Jonathan, for the rest of your life just mourning the death of someone who is no longer in the flesh. But that wouldn't be the way to honor them. It wouldn't be the way to live with them. You have to live with it in compassion and kindness. That there is something here that is beyond my perceptions and my concepts. Every concept, Jonathan, I have ever had in my life has been wrong. Every single one of them. Nothing ever really was the way old Gregory wanted to think it was. And he was, you know, self-serving, and he was selfish, and he was disingenuous about all sorts of things in his emotionality about himself. And he wanted people to be this way so he could feel that way. He wanted people to like him so he could like himself. It's all that typical pedestrian mentality stuff. But after a while, and you start to truly self-examine what you're doing to yourself without guilt and shame, you begin to see the value of non-duality, where we are not dualistic in our thinking, and we are not dualistic in our loving and in our giving. It is gratitude that you hold your wife in your heart, your heart of hearts, not your human heart, your heart of hearts. And when you do something that powerful, that loving, that kind, you change the ebb and the flow of everything that is meaningful in your daily living. You make love possible. So you have got to look at her and maybe take this attitude. If I truly loved her, I have to make the presence of her and my union, our oneness, something of a factor in this world. Maybe it will be through volunteering and giving of yourself to help humankind or help people in general. A devotion to something that is absolutely beautiful and magnificent. Something beyond the idea of the pedestrian mentality, just serving itself and wanting to get what it wants for the sake of what it wants. This is very, very important in the course of a lifetime. I have found in my own life that mourning is one thing, but learning how to take that mourning and bring it into a lifestyle that serves others, that helps others, that reveals love in others, is the purpose of every sorrow I've ever had in my life. It's just the way. You have to make a contribution in some way. And if you do, you'll find that all of this, well, it coincides with compassion and love. And you'll be able to live not in her memory, but in the heart of the both of you that still exists as love. And you have that within yourself this very moment. If you need help, Jonathan, I'm here, and all you need to do is pick up the phone. I will help you as much as you allow me to. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's an interesting thing when someone dies. My parents died suddenly when I was 18. And the funny part about that, and I don't mean the ha-ha, the silly part of that whole thing is I didn't really realize it until I was maybe 30. And then I didn't mourn it until I was about 32. And then I didn't see the significance of it till I was 35. And it's just really interesting how our egos, deal with death. Because death to the ego is the ultimate. Okay, the next question comes from Andy. And Andy does not tell me where he lives. How do I live with all of my mistakes, Greg? I've made so many. Sometimes I feel like, as you put it, the village idiot, Andy. Oh, Andy, join the crowd. I feel like the village idiot, too. I really do. I'm fine with it. I do really live for the sake of you don't have to be perfect to be loved. And I now give that to other people. I live in that with my totality. So one of the things you have to understand is you don't have to be perfect to be loved. And you can't wait for other people to love you. If you wait for other people to love you, you're going to be waiting a very long, long time. You really are. And you're going to be sorely disappointed because, for the most part, people can't love us. They just can't. They don't have that, they don't have that willingness nor the interest in that. To love you or to affectionize you, as I like to call it, there has to be something in it for them. I mean, you've got to be a commodity, something that is so unique and different and a commodity that they can use and that evaluates things differently and invokes different emotions and all that other petty stuff. That's what you got to be for the pedestrian mentality. But the effort is really to not love yourself, but to see the love that lives within you. People say you have to love yourself. That's horse manure. That's pure horse manure. It can't be done. And how can, let's say in my case, how can the Greg that is fallible, filled with all sorts of genetic dispositions, love the Greg? How can he do that? You know, that's like taking dirty water and pouring it into more dirty water and saying it's clean. It just doesn't work. You have to stand back. You have to identify with something other than your genetic disposition, which no one questions. People are absolutely proud of their genetics. So they go out into the world and go, I'm so proud that I'm a this and I'm a that. And, you know, my parents were this and my grandparents were. And that's what they do. They think that's the big shamata. And it's not. So what you're really struggling with, Andy, is the idea that you have to be loved by other people, that you can't do that dirty, nasty little job yourself. But you can. And listen, here's what you got to do. You've got to step back from your emotions. It is the practice to step back from the emotions and to begin to observe how your emotions color your life, make you believe that you're lovable or not lovable, or that you're forgiven or that you will never be forgiven. Everybody has the right to make all sorts of screwy mistakes in this world, as far as I'm concerned. I've seen so many in my career. You hang around here long enough in helping people like I have, some 43 years or so, you begin to see that it's a never-ending battle, that people are going to make mistakes over and over and over and over again. And they're not going to see them. They're not going to understand them. They don't even understand themselves. We are literally ships without rudders, and we don't even know how the boat got built. We don't know the mechanism of the boat. We don't know how to steer it. We don't know anything about it. And you know what? The worst part is we don't care, and we don't want to know. We just want to go, trying to forget who we are and what we are and what we've done. You're going to make mistakes, and I don't even know what a mistake is anymore. I don't look at it that way. You have rendezvous with people. You give them whatever it is that you give them, and they give back to you whatever it is they give back to you. You may say things that are inappropriate or do things that are unkind, but, you know, that's your karma. That's the other person's karma. And to sit there and to look at it like, oh, I'm a terrible person, is not going to help you. You've got to see into the situation. And you've got to have an authentic heart, not a human heart. The human heart will destroy you. It will literally destroy you. You can't go into the human heart. You have to go into that spiritual heart of yours, that sacred place, to recognize the ills of our ways, as I like to call it within me, the ill of my way. And then once you have stepped back from the whole idea of your emotionality, that's when you can see the cruelty that you and I did that we thought was absolutely appropriate, absolutely deserved and deserving. Isn't it fun to take someone who you think has hurt you and just cream them? Just cream them. I've seen people do it. It's been done to me. And you never get to talk about it because they're so close-minded. I've seen people who are in positions of authority with other people do terrible things that they should have never been involved in the first place in, and think that they were right about it. It's all very sad and sick. But that's the way we are. So, Andy, live with your mistake. Live with it as something that is beautiful. Live with it as something that is vibrant, that teaches you, that doesn't condone you, but it teaches you. teaches you the way of the heart, teaches you about humility, kindness, compassion. And no matter how humiliated you must be, for the sake of this lesson, learn the lesson and put yourself through it. And use a sense of humor, too. You got to have a sense of humor. If you don't, your human heart will destroy you. It will destroy itself. I've seen it in so many people in the course of my lifetime, even my own mother and father. So understand, you know, how this all works. It's a suicide mission. You don't want to do that. So forgiveness, love, and the humility to do whatever it takes to achieve those two things is the answer to your question. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. And namaste. The last question. This comes from Randy. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, with it all being said and done, what is the art of living with myself? Randy. That's a very interesting question, Randy. I like it that you use the word art. That really drew my attention. It is an art. It is the art of let go. Let go, let go, let go, let go. First of all, Randy, there is no self. This is an illusion that we are deluded by. If you can stand back further and further and achieve a sense of non-duality, where there is no him or her, right or wrong, up or down, in or out, you will start to see how beautiful it is. What is the it? I don't even know how to put it into words. I don't even know how to describe it. But it exists. Not as a temperament, not as a psychology, not as a condition. It is a state of being. And every single person in this world has it, if you know what I mean. So when you're looking at your life and the meaning of its existence, you understand you're living with life. Live with life as love, not yourself as a human being. If you live with yourself as a human being, eventually you will become vain and bitter. You will become self-absorbed, because that's what the human does. It likes to be self-absorbed, and it is typically vain and bitter. We fall to our genetics as time goes on. It's a very, very terrible thing we do. We literally fall to our genetics. You don't want to do that. You want to rise to the occasion of your life, your heart, your authentic heart, your sacred heart. It is the one that the Buddha talked about in the Heart Sutra. Once you are orientated to your heart, you will never fall again. Not to the ego, not to the vanity, not to the emotions. You will never fall again. That is a very beautiful thing to be able to do. To live in the courage of a compassion and a forgiveness, a let go, that allows you to mature and keep maturing beyond the human heart, its fears, its devastations. This is why I say constantly to you, let love live you. Let love live you. Thank you for your beautiful question. It is an art. please forgive me. Namaste. Wow. What a great question he asked. And I'm so grateful for my questions. If you have a comment or question or something I might be of service to you in, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. Take a look at media. There you will see Satsang with Siraj. That be me. And you can email me right from there and listen to past programs if you like, and even future. Or you can just email me at greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.